Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Welcome to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. We're here today with Michelle. You're back in the studio with us today.
I'm back.
It's just not the same without you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same way when you're gone.
All
the love on Rhode Island Avenue.
You don't have to laugh quite so hard.
All right. I love it when you're gone. I can take over.
Well, you do a good job, so it all works out. So before we get to our guests today, and we have a couple of fantastic guests today, I wanted to give a quick little news item. Business owners, the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs has got a business license amnesty program going on until February 29th. According to their website, they say, "We understand that sometimes not being current with licensing requirements has more to do with economic hardship than indifference to the law. This amnesty program offers businesses who may have suffered a financial setback a fresh start for the new year to do business in the district." And that's from the DCRA Director Melinda Bowling. So if you have had any little snags in your business licensing requirement and you're back, you ready to get rolling again? February 29th is the deadline for this. Go visit dcra.dc.gov and click on the Business Amnesty Program icon and get more information. And that's my news for the day. It's important stuff, so please take care of that, business owners. So hey, I think we've got Philip from Good Food Market on the line. Philip, are you there?
I am, Kyle. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. How's everything going at the market? What's new today?
It's great. Bringing in some new grapefruit juice, a bunch of new stuff for the Asian cooking section, some fresh produce tomorrow. You know, the usual, plenty of DC Central Kitchen and Mama Lucia's prepared foods, all in fresh for the weekend.
It sounds amazing. Just in time for Super Bowl.
You got it. We got a bunch of Super Bowl sales on snacks and everything that you need.
Great. Great. Sounds great. And you've got somebody there to chat with?
I do. I've got two somebodies. I have Phil and Ann from Misfit Juicery.
Misfit Juicery.
That's right.
All right.
Hi, Phil and Ann.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hi, welcome to Rhode Island Radio. We're super happy to have you. Misfit Juicery is a DC business based at Mess Hall in Ward 5, right there off Edgewood and 7th. And they make a fantastic cold pressed juice product. And how many different flavors do you have now, Phil?
We currently got 5, but hoping to push that up in just a few months or weeks.
That's great. Now, you say Misfit is not a juice company, but you make amazing juices. Tell us what Misfit's really all about.
Totally. So the reason why Ann and I started this company about a year ago is because we think that food waste and really food issues writ large are the basis for all forms of social justice, right? So food is such a huge touch point in our lives. And Misfit's purpose is to reduce food waste by making our cold pressed juice from fruits and veggies that are perfectly good, but would otherwise get wasted.
So you all look at the ugly fruit.
There it is.
Yes.
All right. So,
what do we mean by ugly fruit? What's the story there, Phil?
So it actually means a couple of things, right? So you can think of an apple with a dimple, or maybe a twisted carrot. But there are a lot of things that are also surplus. So those ugly ones won't make it to the supermarket because they know that people probably won't buy them. But there's also surplus from community-supported agriculture or CSAs. There's also, you know, when you look at your prepackaged fruits and veggies, like your carrot sticks and your watermelon cubes, you know, there's a lot of fruit and veggie that doesn't go into that, that gets wasted. And so we actually just launched a partnership with Baldor, who's the Northeast's largest produce distributor. And we're taking those scraps from fresh cut production and putting them into our juice as well.
Ah, that's great. You know, I was reading that 40% of all grocery store food waste ends up going, or all food produced for grocery stores ends up going to waste at some point in the supply chain, between the farm and the distributors and the wholesalers and the store, and eventually the consumer. You know, so we were really excited to see that you're working with farmers and a bunch of folks to try to do something about that. Here in the store, we work with veterans compost to make sure that whatever food waste we do end up producing goes to something useful, something that improves the you know, food system as opposed to just sitting in landfills. And you, Phil, you've also developed some really interesting partnerships. So I read about something you're working on with National Geographic. How did that come about?
Yeah, I actually think Anne is much better poised to talk about that than I am.
Sure. Anne, what can you tell us?
Yeah, so National Geographic has a Future of Food initiative, which is a five-year project that the company is running to basically just explore literally what the future of food is from all different angles. And that has a couple of components, both from a photo perspective and a journalistic perspective, but also from an events perspective. So they, through an event called The Science of Deliciousness through National Geographic Live, to kind of celebrate this really long-form article that they did about how people taste food and how they react to certain flavors and the science behind what makes really good food. And so we worked with their 2014 emerging explorer. Her name's Asher J, and she does really cool work on conservation art. So we produced a custom label that had her art on it and was with in partnership with National Geographic for that event to educate both about food waste and how art can be a vehicle for social change.
That's fantastic. That's really great. You know, we're really happy to have Misfit in Good Food Markets every day of the week and to celebrate this this partnership and this another successful local DC business. We're going to offer a buy two, get one free Misfit special at Good Food Markets all this week. And we'll help you come by and then check out Phil and Ann's fantastic product. Again, that's Misfit Juicery.
What was that special again, Philip?
Buy two, get one free.
At Misfit Juicery. At Good Food Markets.
Yep.
All right. Phil and Angie, thank you for calling in this morning, and good luck with everything. Can't wait to taste those juices.
Yeah,
thanks so much, guys.
All right.
Philip, thank you. Is there anything else going on at Good Food Market that we need to know about this week?
Well, coming up in a couple weeks, Tuesday, February 16th, we're going to be hosting a community roundtable at Langdon Recreation Center at 7 p.m., and we'd love for anyone in the Rhode Island Avenue Radio listening audience who cares to weigh in on not only how Good Food Markets can better serve the community as a grocery store, but also what sort of educational programming we can bring to Woodridge with our nonprofit partners. So we hope everyone can make it out to that. Again, Tuesday, February 16th, 7 p.m. at the Langdon Rec Center. But otherwise, we'll just be selling great food at a great price every day of the week at 20th and Rhode Island Northeast.
Can't beat that. 2006 Rhode Island Avenue, is that right?
That's right, and it's goodfoodmarkets.com, Twitter handle at goodfooddc, or give us a call at 202-248-8494.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us again today, Philip.
Thank you, Kyle. We're much obliged.
Take care.
Take care. Welcome back. Now we are joined by Brandon Copeland of Kepro Wellness Group, which is soon coming to the Capoeira spot right here on Rhode Island Avenue. Welcome, Brandon.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm excited to be here.
So Kepro Wellness, it's a yoga practice, it sounds like, but the name seems to imply much more than just yoga. Can you tell us about that and tell us what Kepro means?
I absolutely can. I think it confuses people a little bit. Kepra itself is not the practice. Kepra is just the name, kind of like maybe your Flow Yoga Center or your yoga district, right? Their names are Yoga District, Flow Yoga. So Kepra Wellness specifically references an Egyptian god, Khepra, right? And so there was the Egyptian creation story goes, at the beginning there was this chaotic water, right? And from that chaotic water, Ra, the sun god, produces himself as pure energy, as like an opposite to that chaos. And the process and the, I guess, the god or the anthropomorphized being that represents that process is known as Khepra. And so in school, when I was studying ancient Egyptian philosophy and kind of developing my own philosophy, I recognized at the same time that I was using yoga to kind of shape myself and to become who I was. And I think that it's valuable to me for that reason. And that's what I want to bring to other people who come into the studio.
And so will you be doing more than just yoga? Will there be meditation? And how does that work together?
Absolutely. There will be yoga, meditation, and some other programming. I'm doing community sourcing now, just kind of offering people in the community the chance to take surveys that I've created just to see what they're interested in. I do have a plan for the classes that I'd like, but entering, you know, Rhode Island Avenue, I realize how big of a community it is, just based on, you know, you guys reaching out, and I want to make sure that I respect that and honor that in the classes.
What is rocket yoga?
Rocket yoga. Okay, so rocket yoga is really what...
It sounds painful.
It does.
Yeah, I know, and it's funny because...
It sounds exciting, but scary.
People, I think the name, it really draws in the people that are like gung-ho, you know, to try something new, and kind of pushes away the people that are a little more skeptical. But it, in itself, is very accessible. Rocket yoga is a form of Ashtanga yoga, which is the basis of your regular flow or vinyasa class. Mm-hmm. And the way that system is set up is in a tier. So it's like if you finish this posture, then you can go to the next all the way through the first series. And there's a second, third, and fourth series, right? And you're supposed to take these steps and go through kind of this physical philosophy as your body changes to notice, you know, different differences, notice different changes in these series. Like the first series cleans out your blood, and you're just very much focused on sweating out toxins. Second series is more about your neurological system. So it goes kind of like that. But rocket yoga is a practice that will allow you to take from your third, your fourth, your second series in one sequence and try those postures. And so the rocket yoga class is very pragmatic, is how we teach it. So it's not you have to do this to get this. I can pretty much teach everybody in this room, you know, some form of each of the postures.
Well, not everybody.
Speak for yourself, Kyle.
You'd be surprised. I like the rocket practice because it's so accessible, and because I can bring it into places like schools. I can bring it into pretty much any demographic and offer a similar sequence, maybe not at the same pace, but definitely with the same postures and the same focuses that each posture has in the body. And so that's why I like it. It is intense. It can get intense, but it's certainly something that you can walk into.
So would you say that rocket yoga is a certain type of yoga practice?
Absolutely.
And then, so that would be one that you would offer. Would you offer another type, like they do hot yoga,
yes,
Bikram yoga?
Yes, that's why I'm kind of doing more of the sourcing. Since I got into this practice that was created by Larry Schultz in the early 90s, I kind of fell in love with it and have gone through the past like 3 or 4 years trying to get people to do it, you know. And I think now that I have a platform to not only offer classes but offer and host other teachers' classes, I'll be able to open it up and share, you know, things like yin yoga, which is more about relaxation. Or,
that sounds good, Kyle.
Yeah, there's a lot. And so that's why I'm asking, because I've been so, like, focused on this particular type of practice.
Is there a type of yoga where you just lay on your back on the
mat?
That is
your yin yoga class.
Yeah,
I like
Kyle's the first student.
Yeah, no, I will look out for those. The postures are held for about 3 minutes each, and so it's more focused on your breathing or your pranayama, and I think it's certainly intense. Yoga is interesting because it's I'm gonna say it's always therapeutic, but it's going to target those, it's going to find those places in your body that's holding that stress. And each practice is designed differently to do just that. So don't think you're getting out of it. You know, like it'll still be just as rewarding, I think.
Will you be able to tailor sessions or movements if a person is unable to do things for physical challenges or age or just they haven't stretched in a long time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the beauty of teaching. When I got into yoga, I used the practice, like I said, to kind of help get through college. And I have a four-year-old son who's at Inspire Teaching School. And, you know, that was a big deal in college. You know, I wasn't, you know, so ready. So becoming a teacher really came out of me wanting to understand why I was able to feel the same way in a posture or feel the effects of a posture when there were students around that could do a lot more than me or a lot less, you know. And so tailoring each of the different movements that we go into to each of the students is really, you know, the rewarding part of the job. So absolutely. And of course the surveys that I'm doing are really set to get the specific class type for each person in. Because I could put you in a rocket yoga class and you may need yin, and as much as I tailor the practice to you, it just may not be the right one for you. So,
Brandon, where is that survey? How do people get to that survey?
The survey now has been focused on the people in the capoeira spot. I will be taking and just trying to kind of collect a community, not necessarily a listserv, but a email chain. So if you'd like to email me directly, you can email me at Kepra, that's Khepera, wellness, spelled normally, at gmail.com, and I can give you that survey. I'll be putting it up on the website within the next week.
Gotcha.
Well, I do take yoga every once in a while, like maybe once a week. I work out regularly, but I can only find time to do it once a week. And I find a lot of people are like that, especially people that maybe go to the gym or use weights mm-hmm. or cardio or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do like yoga. Uh-huh. So for someone like me mm-hmm. that can only get it done once a week, mm-hmm. can I see a benefit from that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the yoga that we focus on is really based on the physical because we're so, I like to say this, we're so American. we want it all. And so the physical aspect is really the most tangible aspect. I think that as you practice and you continue to practice, whether it's once a week, as long as it becomes consistent, you'll notice, I guess, the effects of the feeling of the practice and start to see, you'll start to want that in daily life. And you may not practice asana or postures more often, but you will find yourself becoming more mindful and recognize how your postures are reflected in, you know, say sitting down at a desk mm-hmm. or walking down the street. And so I like to say all the time, like, you never stop doing yoga, ever, ever, ever. It's just, are you aware that you're doing it and that it's affecting, you know, how your nervous system is affecting your feelings and emotions? Or are you, you know, more reserving that introspection in that hour that you go to the yoga class? And I guess as a tip, you don't have to do, you know, hour-long class. I say do sun salutations. There's something you can do maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. And what they're doing is extending and flexing each big muscle group in your body. So you just kind of open up and you feel a big difference throughout the rest of the day.
Well, I know you haven't opened up yet. When are you expecting to open up in the capoeira spot?
I had a tentative date for this coming week, my girlfriend is really big on Valentine's Day.
Okay. So
and I know, sorry, yogis, but yes. Yeah, so sometimes in the next 2 weeks, definitely by March.
Okay.
I know that there is, I'm no later than March 4th.
Okay.
I'm really kind of, I like to rush, you know, sometimes. So I'm taking my time and kind of really trying to put things in order as far as programming and having everything ready for folks when they walk in. But with the brick and mortar location already established and, you know, I've already been reaching out to teachers, by the end of the month is a definite.
And how often are you planning on having classes, at least initially? I'm sure it will change, but do you have like a tentative schedule?
I'm looking to begin with the same schedule that a similar schedule, the same amount of classes that were hosted there before. So that's about 10 classes.
10 classes per week?
10 classes per week, right.
Okay.
So there will be morning classes taught at least 3 times a week, I know for sure. And there should be an evening class each day along with weekend programming. The reason I think that it's taking so long, I'm kind of vague. I'm not the bad business owner. I'm just working on the children's programming, as well as finding more classes that aren't so rocket yoga.
So the classes, it sounds like, will be open to all ages. You're saying the
absolutely.
Children's
okay. Absolutely. Working with the Kepra, I mean, which is funny. We talked about this coming in. The Kepra Wellness in the Capoeira spot.
Right.
Both of these very strange but similar
Isn't
names.
It? Yes.
Yes. We're working with the Capoeira spot. Who's also teaching classes in Inspired Teaching School, like I was saying, to create specific after school programming, and then for me, I'd like to create something on Sundays that kind of complements the Capoeira children's programming on Saturdays. And so it's a lot of moving pieces, but
sounds like all the information would be available on the website once you get
absolutely.
Closer to that time.
Absolutely. It'll be available there, and it should be in concert with the things that are already going on in the building.
And what's that website?
It's Kepra Wellness, Kehepera Wellness, Wellness.
Okay. And we did speak of this briefly coming in, but I just want to say that sometimes people are scared away by yoga in particular because the classes can be expensive. Mm-hmm. Aside from the scary rocket yoga, it can be very expensive.
Yes.
And I noticed on your website that you seem to have some monthly specials. Maybe you could tell our listeners about that. I know you haven't started yet, but
it's okay. No, it's fine. I guess going back, I started out at Yoga District, and this is maybe 2009, 2010. And I was going there because, like I said, I was in college, very broke in college. Shout out to Howard.
H-U.
That's right. H-U, we got to do it. Yeah. But Yoga District was $10 a class.
That's right.
It was $10 a class. And I was like, wow, like this is great. And even better, I took a trip to New York during that time, and there's a studio called Yoga to the People, and their classes are donation based completely, like all day, and so that idea really stuck with me. So yes, I will be offering classes generally at $12 a class, and then for the first 90 days I plan on offering 90 days of yoga for $90.
Oh, wow.
And it sounds kind of cool. It's not my original idea. Larry Schultz, the guy who created Rocket Yoga, started this kind of concept, like where if you can pay a dollar a day, you know, you can come in and enjoy this practice. And I think that, you know, that's the most important part of the practice. I think that we as yoga technicians who love the practice aren't so good with the business aspect of it when we don't recognize that what brings people back is not, you know, the nice studio and the price point. It's really the practice, being able to explore in a comfortable community and feel like your growth is accepted and encouraged. And I think that creation of that community is really my biggest goal. You know, of course, we want to be, you know, in the black. But I think my biggest goal is to create that space and to create that real change, and getting people in the door no matter what, you know, their financial situation is really what's most important to me. Now, it will, you know, it won't always be that way. That is like a one-time kind of thing. But I think especially at the beginning, I'd like to open it up for people
to make it accessible.
Exactly.
Sounds great.
Exactly.
Okay, listeners, Kepra Wellness will be open hopefully by March 4th.
Yes, absolutely by March 4th. Look for us around maybe the 28th of February.
All right, in the Capoeira spot, which is located at 2008 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast.
Looks like, Brandon, it looks like you're on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Kepra Wellness. Our Twitter is not up yet, but you will also be able to find us on Instagram, which is more. You can find us on Instagram, which will probably link to a Twitter.
Twittergram. We should create that. Twittergram.
I think that's called Snapchat.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, right. Or Tumblr, right.
Why don't we spell Kepra Wellness again?
Yes, we can do it one more time. Yep. And I know it sounds strange. Get used to it, folks. I think you'll learn to love it. It's Kepra, Kehepera. And there are a few different translations. There's also a Kepra Raw Food and Juice Bar on 8th Street.
But this is the yoga.
But this is the yoga spot,
group,
right?
So,
right. You may see some you know, some collaborations between the two. But
nice.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Brandon.
Absolutely. I don't want to, can I say thank you for having me? I think it's really great what you guys are doing. I did kind of feel alone. I mean, it's my first business, and you know, it's really nice to be welcomed into the community this way.
Oh well, thank you. Thank you. You are. We're looking forward to seeing what you can do.
Exactly.
I'm excited.
All right.
Hey, welcome back. So for our second guest, or I guess it's our third guest because yes. Philip was one, we've got somebody special to talk to. But first, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is through their grant money that we work to help strengthen and grow businesses here on Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast Main Street. So many thanks to them. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor for Rhode Island Avenue Radio, feel free to give me a shout, kyle@riamainstreet.org. So we have on the line Sherelle T. Martin. Sherelle, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, Sherelle.
Hi.
Folks, Sherelle is the founder, CEO, and managing member, Chief Financial Solutions Officer, good Lord, woman, your titles, of Nitram Financial. And Sherelle, you are as good as your titles make you seem.
Well, thank you very much.
So Sherelle was a speaker at our monthly Business Bites just yesterday. That's a monthly meeting we host for Rhode Island Avenue businesses and entrepreneurs and commercial property owners. Sherelle was talking about managing money within the context of small business management. So welcome, Sherelle. And how did you get involved in all of this?
Well, thank you for having me. I got into this. I've been doing accounting forever. I went to school, got my degree in accounting. So I worked in public accounting for about 12 years before I went and tried to do accounting in corporate. But corporate is a little more stressful than public accounting, despite what we believe. You just get better benefits. So I went and did corporate for about 3 years, and then I decided, you know what, I'm just going to do this thing on my own. I'm going to make my own schedule, work my own time. And so I started my own business.
Great. And, you know, just the little bit of information that you gave out to the business owners yesterday, I believe the title of your presentation was More Money, More Problems. And wow, that was some good stuff. Can you give, just a very brief encapsulated version of that, the Cliff Notes version?
Sure. So the title was More Money, More Problems, Money Management Strategies on How to Keep More Money in Your Business. Because what happens in the small business world is when you are having a thriving business, when your business is generating revenue, you know, the money is coming in, and then everything just is all over the place. Everything is just haywire because you're doing all of these things either incorrectly or not at all. And so even though money is coming out in the door, it's flying out faster than it's coming in. So people are left saying, I mean, I'm working and I'm bringing in clients and I'm bringing in all this money, but I don't have any money in the bank. So that's how I came up with the concept. So it's actually six tips. And I use the acronym PROFIT because one of the things that we focus on is profitability. So the P is to plan for profit, which basically means that as a business owner, you need to have a plan. You need to set a budget, and no one wants to set a budget. It's amazing how many business owners are operating without a budget. They just have this, you know, thing they pulled out the sky that says, I'm going to make $100,000 in my first year of business with no plan on how they're going to do it.
Right, right. Right.
You
know, one of the challenges that the last guest that we had last week was from Rhode Island Row, and they were talking about one of the biggest challenges they had in finding good tenants for Rhode Island Row was, you know, having folks show up without any sort of business plan. And it seems like the budget is is one of the key components of a business plan.
It is, and a lot of people don't have a business plan. And even I, when I very, very first started, didn't have a plan because I was like, you know, I've worked with businesses for almost 20 years. I know what to do, but I still had to sit down and do a plan and come up with how this thing was going to look in the big picture, how we're going to make money. And the financials is the biggest piece of a business plan because you're projecting forward how you're going to grow your business so that people can see that this is really not some trumped up idea, that there's actually some things that are going to happen. This thing is going to really take off. So that's the purpose of a plan. But no, again, people don't want to do it because we think of how it used to be to do a business plan, where you have to sit down and type out this long 12 to 20 page document. Well, now there's software and apps that can help you create it kind of in the cloud, and then you can make it into a working document. So every year or every 6 months, you can actually go in and make those changes in the document too. So the business plan is always changing with you. It's changing and growing as you go versus sitting in the desk drawer because after you created it, you never opened it again.
Right. Right.
So then the next was R, which was robust record keeping. So most small business owners, you know, their CEO in their business, which is really chief everything officer. You know, they're doing their business. They're the courier, the mail person, the office clerk, the receptionist, you know, the sales, marketing, business development. They're everybody mm-hmm. in their business. Mm-hmm. And finance, obviously, is the one thing they don't want to do. They know they need it, but they're like, I don't do numbers. I don't want to be involved in that boring thing called accounting. So they don't do it. And then at the end of the day, they're trying to figure out, well, I don't know how my business did. I don't know how much money I made. You know, I think I made this amount of money based on what was put into the bank. So they really have no clue because they're operating off of the bank balance and not the sales that were actually generated in the business.
Right.
So you have to keep, you know, you have to use softwares. There's tons of them out there that you can use. We won't say their names until they become your sponsors. But there's tons of software.
Thank you.
But there's tons of softwares out there that they can use that are cloud-based. There's even some that are free, you know, for that really small, just getting started business who wants to start off on the right foot. And if you just sit down, take the time, hire someone to at least train you on how to use it initially, and then kind of tap in every 6 months or every 3 months to make sure you're doing everything right. You don't have to jump right into someone doing it day-to-day, monthly basis. You can do, there are organizations and companies out there that will do it on a more interim basis just to make sure that you're on track and doing things as you're supposed to do. But you have to keep the records up consistently or you're never going to know really what your business is doing.
Right, right. It's not sexy, but it's necessary.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could try to make it sexy. I don't know how successful we'll be, but we can try. And then the O is to stop overspending. You know, as a small business owner, we're like, it's all my money. And it is your money, but it's the business is a separate entity, so its business generates its own money. So you got to stop mixing and mingling the money. It's like the biggest thing, you know, running all of your business expenses all of your personal expenses through the business. One, it's illegal, actually, because the IRS considers it that you're piercing the corporate veil, so you end up they say, oh, well, you really don't have a business. So that's number one reason why you should stop, because they can come in and say, you know what, never mind, this is not a real business. We're taking all of your privileges away from as an operating business.
So you should not write your personal rent check out of your business account.
You absolutely should not. Nor your personal utilities, nor your personal telephone. If you have an office in your home, still write the checks out of your personal account and keep tally of it, and the tax accountant will do an allocation, because technically you can still deduct a portion for taxes, but it's based on the square footage of that office. And so
Right. That's
getting into the tax, the laws about it, but you can still take the deductions, but it's not a business expense. So you really should not be paying it out of your business account. You should not be trying to say you went to Disney World for business and you don't do anything that that Disney will benefit from. You know, you're a consultant. Disney's not really hiring you to come in and do their consulting.
So if you take a business phone call while you're on the teacup ride, you can you cannot claim that as a business expense thing?
You know, that's no. Technically, I'm going to say no. That's a very fine line, that little rule that if you discuss business at least one time, you can deduct the whole thing. That's a very fine gray line. I mean, if you won't deduct a trip, do some business for some during that trip over, you know, a chunk of time. Like spend 2 or 3 hours doing something that relates to your business while you're on that trip and keep the receipts that relate to that. I listened to a podcast, another podcast a while ago, and there was a tax guy, and he had a client who said he went to, like, Mexico, somewhere in Mexico he went, and he wanted to deduct this trip. Well, he happened to be in the real estate industry, so they did research and found some properties while they were down there and went and visited them and everything so that it could become a business trip. And in the end, he ended up buying the property for his business. Like, it ended up working out. So it's a legit, it turned into a, it really did turn into a business expense because he conducted business on the trip over a good chunk of hours. We can't say 5 minutes and you've been there for a week. You know, you got to do at least a day or two, right?
Right.
And then, and he had all of the receipts and everything for those days. And then it actually turned out that he decided that he really wanted to buy it and have it in the business as a separate property. And I don't remember what the person did and how it related, but, you know, just making sure that you track whatever you do on business on that trip. Keep track of that portion and deduct that portion.
Gotcha, gotcha.
The F in profit stood for financial, stood for forecasting and weathering the storm. So predicting and making adjustments to that plan as business happens. Because just like life happens, business happens. And so if things happen where you're getting, you know, all of a sudden you're getting new contracts, new opportunities, you want to make adjustments to that plan in those future months that are going to be affected by it. At the same time, if it goes the other way and maybe you sell a product and it got delayed, the manufacturing can't get it to you in time, that's going to affect your sales in the month, then you need to forecast that forward going in the opposite direction. That, well, maybe we're not going to get all of those sales in March. They may come through in May. And so making that adjustment, because those adjustments help you with managing your cash flow at the end of the day. So you can't be sitting around expecting all this money to come in March and still pay out all those expenses when the money's not going to come till May.
Right.
So you need to make the adjustment on the expenses side also so that they go out at the same time that the money is coming in and so that you're not left with a red cash balance.
Sure, sure. And it's, you know, it is literal weather forecasting sometimes too. You know, take for instance the blizzard we just had. That absolutely impacted retailers throughout the area when people couldn't get to their businesses for a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be an effect. That's going to affect where the cash comes in for the payroll. That's going to that had to go out that following week. So you got to make those adjustments and make those changes so that you're not stuck sitting there like, oh my gosh, I really don't even know what just happened. Right? You want to avoid that moment because that's never a good moment when you're like, I don't even know what happened. I don't know what to do. And then you're running around scrambling and not thinking things through clearly.
Right.
So sitting down and taking the time to make sure that everything, you know, that you make those adjustments.
Right.
The I was intellectual insight. So understanding your numbers, knowing your numbers, monitoring your metrics, making sure that you take the time to look at your financials on a regular basis. Minimally, I say quarterly. Ideally, it's monthly, depending on the size of your business. But No, don't wait any longer than 3 months. You should be looking at your numbers, seeing how you track towards your plan or your budget, you know, seeing if where you need to make changes, seeing how you're trending, understanding your ratios, because looking at those numbers is what's going to help you actually make the financial decisions that you need to make in the business.
Gotcha.
And then the T was taxes, which is everybody's favorite topic.
You saved it for last.
And that is, you know, making sure that you consult or meet with your tax advisor on a regular basis. And quarterly is probably good enough because you got to make your estimated tax payments on a quarterly basis. Can't keep trying to skip out on those, because if you do, come April, after you've met your goal based on your plan, you're going to be left with a $10,000 bill because you didn't do the tax planning along the way as well. So making sure you pay your quarterly estimated payments, making sure you pay your payroll taxes on time to avoid the penalties and interest, because that's how money seeps out of the business. It seeps out through what I call a money leak. So you're paying penalties and interest. You're paying bank fees consistently. You're paying subscriptions for things you're not even using. Those are how money is just leaking out of your business. So making sure you stay on top of everything, paying your taxes on time, is the last way that you can actually keep more money in the business.
I have to say, these items are so good, not just for business, but for personal. I've been jotting the information down. I mean, you can use it for your personal finances as well.
See, Sherelle, you're making impacts everywhere you go, Sherelle.
Absolutely. You definitely can. A lot of those do relate to your personal life as well.
And to nonprofit businesses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So besides being an informative speaker, Sherelle, your business itself, your business, you provide financial services to businesses. Do you want to talk a little bit about the services you provide?
Sure. So we provide accounting, bookkeeping, and consulting services to small and medium-sized businesses. So ideally, who are in an income bracket up to $5 million. $250 to $5 million is our sweet spot. But we will take businesses, smaller businesses, if they're serious about it and they know the importance of it and they want to get a handle on it and start off right. We do have smaller packages that are geared for that smaller, I guess you could call it a micro business, those businesses who are under that 250 mark. But we do all accounting services such as budgeting, financial statements. And then the bookkeeping, obviously, is keeping the day-to-day bookkeeping either monthly or on a quarterly basis using the software applications. And then we do also controller services as well. So for a business who is in that larger income range and they have a bookkeeper, but they're not so sure that person is doing it right or that person needs a little oversight, but they can't handle hiring a full-time controller, we come in as a part-time controller.
Gotcha.
And then we also do consulting on those software services. So when I had a client who came to me, she's like, me and this software do not get along. Like, it doesn't like me. So we can come in and provide the training on that as well and kind of help get everything in order and teach you how to do all the little tips and tricks that we know so that you can kind of do it on your own if you do want to do it on your own. And then you can bring us in, like I said, on that quarterly basis to kind of oversee and make sure everything is going on. Being recorded correctly.
Right. So if a business calls you and says, you know, the equivalent of me and this software don't get along, and I have no idea what's my books are all jacked up, I don't even know where to start, here's a shoebox full of receipts, can you help me? is that something you can handle?
We definitely can. Yep, we sure can.
All right. What about payroll services, taxes, all that good stuff?
We do offer payroll services, and we also offer business process improvement. So documenting your processes in your business to make it run more efficiently, and then giving you an action plan on how to make it more efficient, what tools and resources you can use as well. We do not do taxes ourselves. We have a CPA that we partner with that we refer all of our tax work to.
It looks like you and or your team that you work with there have just reams and reams of certifications in different accounting softwares, and this is great stuff. So folks want to track you down and get you to help them clear out their shoebox of receipts. How are they going to best get in touch with you, Sherelle?
They can definitely reach out to us through, you can email us at info@nitramfinancial.com. You can go to our web.
That's NITRAM, nitramfinancial.com.
Yep. They can also go to our website, nitramfinancial.com, and click on contact us, and there's a form there that they can actually submit an inquiry through there as well. We're also all over social media, so they can connect with me, you know, on Twitter, LinkedIn as well.
Great. I'm looking at your website now. I love that, you know, across the very top, Above your logo banner, it says, "Want to know why your business has no cash?" a button that you can click that says, "Tell me how."
Yes, we have a free CD. So anyone who wants to find out why they're struggling with cash flow, there are some additional reasons than the ones I just named. They can click on that link and they'll get a free download of an audio CD that we have, 5 more tips on how. What those reasons are, and how to actually fix them.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect, Sherelle. All right, Sherelle Martin of Nitrum Financial Solutions. Thank you so much for joining us today. Again, that's Nitrum, NITRAM Financial.com. Any parting words of wisdom for small businesses, Sherelle?
I would probably have to say, it's the beginning of the year. And you're probably sitting around looking at that box of receipts trying to figure out how you're going to get all of this done before April 15th for your tax person not to be angry. So I would say while you're going through it, start now with using an accounting software now for 2016. Start right now so that come next January you can say, oh, it's already done. And just submit and push a button and forward your tax person their financials and get everything done a lot faster. Having processes and efficiency in the business makes it so much easier to manage, but it's that process of trying to go through it every January all at one time is what makes it such a painful thing. So if you get into the software now while it's still the beginning of the year, we're only 1 month in, start using it now so that come next year your life will be a little bit easier.
There you go. And along with the best of New Year's intentions, get your financial world in order.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sherelle.
Thank you for having me.
We need to have you back on a regular basis to poke people and remind them to keep their receipts out of their shoeboxes.
At least quarterly.
At least quarterly financial review.
That's right.
Sure, I would love to do that.
All right, Sherelle. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
So, Kyle, today we've talked about finances and fitness, the two Fs, starting off the new year right, right?
Yes.
So this is great.
And they're both different levels of pain.
This is true. No, this is true.
Brandon would never hurt anyone, I know.
No.
All right. So it's another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.